our help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 71, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 71, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Amen.
The scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the New Testament in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verse 21 through 37. Luke 10, verse 21 through 37. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words as saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading, Luke 10, verse 21. And in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are thee, the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, and saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, And then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray together. Lord, we have come together in this morning hour by thy divine providence to hear what I have to say to us by word and spirit. O Lord, may it be that we are gathered together this morning not only to hear a part of the Bible, but to be a subject of thy eternal seeking love. O Lord, we became subjects of thy eternal wrath in paradise, and we increase thy wrath against us with our daily sin and transgression, if we still live for our own account. O Lord, that we may consider that thy wrath is coming, and that there is no escape, there is no escape outside of Christ. That we may escape for our life, not to escape hell, not to enter heaven, but for thy sake. To fear thee, O Lord, to honor thee in all thy doings. O Lord, that is not possible on our side, because we have fallen in the impossibility. But give us an experience of our possibility concerning our salvation. We need thy spirit to be convinced. We need thy intervention in Christ to be saved. We need an application of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to be saved. And we have no right, and there is no reason to save us, only when thou take reason out of thyself. Reveal thyself to us in this morning hour in thy begotten Son Jesus Christ by the foolishness of the preaching. O Lord, look upon us in Christ and take away our sin and unbelief. Because that unbelief, that such a terrible power, O Lord, take it away. For thy sake and thy Son's sake. And that we may become what we are, lost sinners, ready to the fire. That our old man may die, because our carnal nature in Adam don't honor thee, never. And the old man under the law lives in sin, always. O Lord, revive thy people, revive us, if we belong to thee. Yea, give a national revival, for it is more than time to work. And thou art going on to fulfill thy eternal pleasure, because thy house will become full. O Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted, the widows, the widowers and the orphans, that all our circumstances may lead to the glorification of thy holy name and for saving our lost souls. Remember thy covenant people, the Jews, let them come to thee in Christ, according to thy own promises. O Lord, we pray for our government. She is thy servant, and let our rulers fulfill their task faithfully. But they are going on in unbelief and terrible sin, O Lord. Also the house of our queen in our native country, O Lord. The royal members have left thee, and serve the world. It is our guilt. But they are lost forever if they don't return to thee. Deliver them from sin and let them fear thee, only thee, because thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The world is going down, but thy word will stand forever, and thy kingdom will come. Increase thy kingdom in our native country and in this country, and establish thy kingdom in the hearts of our rulers. Be with us in speaking and listening. Open the scripture and open our hearts that we may hear the voice of the Lord Jesus in our deadly state to be saved. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, with the help of the Lord, we will think about the talk between Jesus and the lawyer and the parable of the Good Samaritan that follows. And the talk between Jesus and the lawyer belongs to the battle between Christ and the devil. It's always the same, every time. Between the King of Light and the Prince of Darkness. And that battle is still present, and it will go on until the end of the world. And however, the Lord Jesus has conquered the devil, but there will be a strife left. The strife between flesh and spirit. And flesh, beloved, always agree with the devil. Flesh always agree with the devil. Can be religious flesh, but that is the same as worldly flesh. Always agrees with the devil. As a matter of fact. Now the flesh is condemned by the law and crucified on the cross if we belong to Christ by regeneration and justification. Because the word says, there will be no condemnation for those who walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. God's people walk no more in the flesh because the old man under the law is dead, killed by the law, and regenerated by the spirit. And there's the life of faith. And the true believers are not ruled by the law, but by the spirit of Christ. There's always the difference. And we will it see by the lawyer. He was legalistic. Legalistic. No faith. No faith. Only flesh. Religious flesh. Yeah, and I tell you a mystery. Christ became flesh. Yeah, Christ became flesh. And he was no more condemned by the law instead of his people. Yeah, he was condemned by the law instead of his people. That is my human nature. The old man is crucified by the human body of Christ. Yeah, in Dutch we say, we need a plaatsvervanger. Plaatsvervanger. Yeah, that is the gospel. We need Christ instead of us, before God. So, when Christ died, so did I. If we believe in Christ. When Christ died on the cross, so did his people. His death is my salvation. Because his death was killed by the old by the old Adam being. And that isn't easy to understand spiritually. I say that it's impossible to understand by nature. Impossible. The old man cannot understand the divine things. It's impossible. A little child, when it fears the Lord, can understand. The disciples can understand the divine things of God. The law don't give us that knowledge. And the law only requires complete obedience. And in case of a little obedience, disobedience, in case of one transgression, the law will condemn us, for sure. And we are condemned yet. with the entire world. Because we have sinned against the Holy One. So there is no escape of the wrath of God. Only when another stands instead of us, to undergo the punishment of God's wrath and to fulfill the holy law that we have transgressed. Think about it. Yeah, it's not easy, it's impossible. And that will be grace, when the prodigal son, he came to himself. He came to himself. He got a look inside. You have got it. Look inside. Oh man. There's a terrible pit. But on the bottom of that pit, there is Christ. Christ is not on the top of the pit of our terrible state, but on the bottom. Yeah. So the law don't give us that knowledge, and we are condemned with the entire world. And there is no escape of the wrath of God, only when another stands instead of us. To undergo the punishment of God's wrath. And congregation, the law of God comprises two things. Loving God above all, and our neighbor as ourselves. On these two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets, Jesus said. And this is the Old Testament way of putting it, which fulfilled only by Christ, but we have to put it in the New Testament way. The summary of the law is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And therefore that summary was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness and to the Greeks, because flesh cannot understand this truth. And by nature we don't want it, we don't want to know it. Remember, we are by nature, we are enemies of God. Yeah. If you are a churchgoer or something like that, or you pray every day, without regeneration, you are still enemies of God. But we have to keep going. The portion of the scripture of our preaching begins like this. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, what happens here? Now, well, the devil comes to Jesus in an image of an angel of light, and in the person of a lawyer, to try and to blame Jesus with his own words. For the lawyer's question was, what shall I do? What shall I do to earn salvation? Now, what was the temptation? The lawyer wanted Jesus to answer that he would say something against the law. What shall I do? Yeah. What shall a man do to stay out of the hands of God? That was his back thought. What shall I do to stay out of the hands of God? And that is the question of our carnal nature, of an old man under the law. What shall I do? That man, the old man is always busy with work, 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 work. Always work. Sick of work. What shall I do? This or that? On the right edge of the Broadway, or on the left edge on the Broadway. But both edges ends up in the same place. The eternal hellfire. Now, on which road are we traveling, my listeners? On which road? It's not a question by nature, because the Bible says we are traveling on the broad way. With the world. It can be on the right edge of the road. It can be very religious. But and the world traveled on the left side on the road, but both edges ends up in the same place. You can sit down close to Jesus, like the lawyer did. He sat down close to Jesus, but he was still an enemy of Jesus with an unsaved soul. Well now, the lawyer asked Jesus that question, what shall I do? But he knew it. He knew for himself the answer yet, namely, to obey the law to be saved. Yeah, and his imagination was that he obeyed the law in doing his best. Doing his best, and God will do the rest.
Yeah.
That's the religion of self-doers. Do your best, and God will do the rest. In Dutch we say 50-50 base. 50-50 base. Like a cooperation. Man does something, and God does something. But don't fool yourself, beloved. Salvation comes from the Lord in one way, in the judgment of our being. But the lawyer was waiting for the answer Jesus would give him, and he desires that Jesus would something say contrary to the obedience of the law. But then the divine wisdom makes use of the word and answers him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Yeah, somebody will expect that the Lord Jesus preaching the gospel. No. He answered him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So the Lord turns the things round by catching the lawyer with the law in a legal way, and that lawyer cannot but say the lesson he had heard by heart to the perfect law fulfiller. And of course the answer was correct. He was a lawyer. And he knows the law as nobody else. He was a lawyer. But he has learned the law by heart himself and taught others. But he cannot say what Christ only could say. The law is written in my heart. The law is written in my heart. And Christ loved his father's law so much that he proclaimed this law as an holy, perfect law. For God's law was not destroyed by Adam's fall, but violated, not destroyed. We fell out of the image of God. That image is not destroyed. The image of God is not destroyed. God remains God. So, the covenant of God with Adam was broken by the fall, by man, by you and me. And the lawyer knew this too, but he was unwilling to live on the sacrificial lamb. Hence, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That was his question. Now, he knew that was a sure thing. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Like this and like that. And that's the way it should go, he thought. But the Lord told him the summary of the law. For no tittle or jot of that law could fail. And of course, he could say that. For he had known this by heart, from the time that he attended Sabbath school, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. It was right. Do this, and thou shalt live. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Jesus preached him the law. Do this, and thou shalt live. Now, if one wants to condemn with the law, one will be condemned by that law. And if one wants to live through the law, then one must obey the law perfectly. And that's what the man has to find out. Do this, and thou shalt live. That's the promise of the law. The law has a promise. Do this, do. Obey the law perfectly, and thou shalt live. That's true. That's for sure. But your righteousness, has to be greater than the righteousness of a Pharisee. Do you understand that? To try the law is not the law don't accept trying. The law don't accept trying. Do your best. The law said, no, I don't accept this. I require a complete obedience. Yeah, but the lawyer never yet understood the law in its damning power. And do we know the law in its damning power, beloved, so that we are allowed to say, I am dead to the law by the law, what Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 19. And that is no math. It's no math. Because when the law is coming, the law asks no permission to come in. Do you know that by experience? The law doesn't knock on the door to come in. No, the law comes in like a thief, unexpected. Paul says, when the law came in, in my life, I didn't ask for it. He came. He was there. And then, sin revived. When the law came in, sin revived. So the law doesn't make the sinner alive, but sin. And do you know that by experience, my beloved? Now when the law comes, there he is. And the law comes with a mirror. A mirror to show what we have become. Now look in that mirror of the law. And what happens then? When you look in that mirror of the law, then sin revived. And then a sinner must die, because in the front of a holy God, the sinner must die, because our old man has to die, otherwise we cannot marry to Christ. The old man cannot marry to Christ. It's impossible. The old man has to die. But the lawyer did not die, he was still alive in his carnal nature, like an old man under the law. And I've said already, what is an old man? What is an old man? That is a man or a woman under the law, unreconciled. That is the old man. The old man lives in sin, always, every day. Not sin, but you try it to do your best, but you are still an old man. That doesn't help. The Lord doesn't count that. Yeah, and that is what the lawyer felt himself, for it says, but he willing to justify himself, that's always. It's always the remark, the defension of an old man under the law, to justify himself. Not to accept his punishment, no. No. Not to confess what we has become in paradise, no. To justify himself. Yeah. And he said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now he pretended not to know this and to be eager to be taught by Christ. Now how far hypocrisy can go? Yeah, how far hypocrisy can go? But the Lord acts as if he doesn't notice it and tells him a parable. He tells him a parable. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And beloved, this parable points to our deep fall in Adam. For it says about the priest and the Levite, and they passed by on the other side. Yeah. And this shows us our terrible Cain-like nature. Am I my brother's keeper? Now the priest and the Levite said, I'm not. office bearer. I'm too holy to help that man. But if you want to grasp the matter well, it is necessary first to understand the first commandment of the summary of the law, namely, love God above all. For knowledge of God gives knowledge of self. And to get self-knowledge, knowledge of God is necessary. You cannot miss that. One never knows oneself without knowing God. And self-knowledge is only to be obtained at the school of free grace. And that is most necessary if you want to understand anything of the second commandment of the summary of the law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now if you want to tread the path of mercy in the right way, then it is necessary to know the summary of the law, namely Christ Jesus, him crucified. And then we are able to say, for the love of Christ constraineth us, like Paul says. So, what is our engine? To say it in technical words, what is our engine? The old man, the devil, sin, or the spirit, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus? A big difference. So the love of Christ causes us to know our neighbor. And all other love is only self-love. It is a wonder when people love each other with a nature love, but actually it is self-love. Think about it. Only the love of Christ has a purpose, to glorify God. For natural love without knowledge of Christ is man glorifying love and self-love. But the scripture goes on, for it says, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. That's it. That's the way the Lord starts his parable. And well, that is the man's own fault, the lawyer thought. When he heard the parable, he thought, well, that is the man's own fault. He shouldn't have gone that dangerous way. He should have stayed in Jerusalem. That man has no business being in Jericho, the town cursed by God. Do you know Jericho was cursed by God? It was forbidden to rebuild that city, but it was rebuilt. And do you know who lived in Jericho too? Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He lived in Jericho too. And when Jesus came in Jericho, in that cursed city, Jesus came in that cursed city? In that cursed city? Yeah, Jesus came in that cursed city to save one soul on the Broadway. A certain man went down. Perhaps a man who had been in the temple in Jerusalem to see the blood of the sacrificial animal that had been killed by the priest or for the sins of the people. Maybe a man who sits in church next to you and leads a very lonesome life somewhere in a pitiful circumstances. Can be. Maybe somebody from the slums that you see passing your house, whereas you are having a cup of coffee and think, there is another tramp. He has no business being in our street. Maybe somebody you see in a picture of some mission paper, and this occupies you with emotional thoughts about man's misery. It's quite something, all that misery. But you put down that paper again and you telephone your neighbor to go out shopping together, and you chat about the weather and the like, and you have quite forgotten that man again. Maybe a man who has been simply taught by God, and like a lawyer you come to him for house visitation, and when that man tells what God has done to his soul, you nurse a deadly hatred of such an impudence that you would like to cry out, what do you teach us? perhaps a man who belongs to a light religion church from Jericho, and you have your flaming condemnation ready, that man is lost forever. Without realizing that your seemingly pious religion will land you in the abyss of eternal damnation. You know, for God, we are all the same. And we are cursed already with the entire world. A certain man went down. That is our going. That is our way. A certain man, a certain woman. You can fill in a certain girl, a certain boy. Went down. That is what happens in paradise. Went down. We went down from God. And we fell in the arms of the devil. We embraced him, and every day we do the same. Embrace the devil. Yeah, sometimes later he lies there beaten half dead at that man. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It was the broad way. And that way from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was the broad, it was not the narrow way, it was the broad way. And he, listen, and he passed by on the other side, but it was still the broad way. So, what is the difference? And he passed him on the other side. And he didn't pass him on the same side. No, he passed him on the other side. So he was a priest, office bearer. Maybe he had just finished his work in the temple, killing a sacrificial animal to please God. Or perhaps he was on his way to Jerusalem to be active in the temple. He may have had a song in his thoughts, maybe. Then at thy sacred altar, bending my heart to God in prayer, I raise. Yeah. And there he went on, with a pious heart, till all at once he saw that man dying and lying there half naked and bleeding from many wounds. Do you know what he thought? Now I have to watch out. Now I have to watch out. Now it is going to be dangerous for me. Now I am in danger. Now I am no priest for a few moments anymore. Now I have to hurry to get away from this terrible spot. Do you recognize something in your own life? And when he saw him, it says, he passed by on the other side of the road. And he crossed the road and sped away from him. And what was in his mind? Am I my brother's keeper? I have no time for this. My work won't permit this. Otherwise I shall be late for the church, probably, he thought. And what a lot of religion can go together with a priestly passing self-love. There are ministers and office bearers who just leave their sheep to shift for themselves and suffer them to bleed to death on the roadside. Young people who have no more home anymore because father and mother always fighting together. They have no parental authority and faithfulness over the children anymore. But allow their children to go to all kinds of cesspool of sin, like church youth holiday, church youth holidays, and other sensual church entertainment. Yeah. Now what is this? It's a highway to hell. Mothers and fathers, how it will be required of our hands when you have to give an account of your upbringing, of your baptized children before God on the day of judgment. You have given promise. You gave a promise. But listen, my children can only inherit eternal condemnation of me. When I promise, I don't do it. But when the Lord Jesus something promise, he do it. Only he. Then you may have gone to the stricter church, but your condemnation will be the more serious, as you have had no need of the merciful high priest for yourself and your children. But how it will be required of all that office bearers who play church rather than trying to bring back the lost sheep. I've been in some terrible places. Also on the Veluwe in Holland, a very religious area. And I saw people out of the strictest churches there live in sin, discotheken. 90% were church people, church youth. And there was no office bearer there, no office bearer. And I proclaimed them the gospel. I proclaimed them the gospel. And do you know what they say? I never heard it. I never heard it that Christ was willing to pay for my sin. I never heard it in the church. And the father of that prodigal son and daughters is still waiting, my beloved. My dear youth, that father of the prodigal son is still waiting. When that son turned back, still waiting. And that doesn't only mean that it concerns those that live in the world with their baptized foreheads and lie down wounded without being aware of it themselves. No. For it also concerns God's true children who are ignored by the so-called priests who don't carry out their office properly out of self-love at the expense of the living child. And no bad word of the faithful ones. There are faithful ones. But look, there comes another man. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side, like the priest did. And the wounded man on the roadside saw him come, and for a moment there was some glad hope in his heart of that wounded man. For the Levite would undoubtedly help him, because he was a brother of the same house, wasn't he? And however, that when that Levite saw the priest walking in the distance, he might have had a song in his thoughts, "Behold how pleasant and how good that we, one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood." Yeah. But suddenly, he also saw the man lying on the side of the road in a pitiful condition. A pitiful condition. He came in a hurry. Also, he came in a hurry. And the good singing Levite came in a terrible hurry at once. He crossed the road and hastily follows the priest. Now imagine that he would also be struck down by those highwaymen, by those brutal robbers. Oh, then his life would be in danger, and also his reputation would be in danger. Yeah. And that man, Levite, that wounded man, you don't care about him? Yes, that man. He should have watched it out better. He is only an ordinary Jew, one of the multitude, who doesn't know the law, actually a cursed one. So nothing was lost by him, he thought. But suppose that the highwayman attacked him, the holy Levite, that would be most terrible. And that would be a crying shame. When he had some blood on his clothes, that would be a crying shame for a Levite. So he had to hurry on away from the spot, and it says, and passed by on the other side. Now that is the picture of the most current office bearers. And by nature, this is the image of all of us, of all of us. Maybe someone says, but I'm not that bad. And you may just have croaked like an inflated frog about your religion and your conversion with your religious friends, and how you are craving all these things and happily sighed, oh and ah. And do you know what it is? Do you know that? Nothing but, look what I have done to inherit eternal life. The old man is always busy with work, what he has done. Not what Jesus has done, no, what he has done. And then it is to be hoped that your mouth is closed by the sword of the divine truth, and that you will be given time to yield to God as a healthy serving sinner. And if you still have the courage to ask, who is my neighbor? I think then you are on a slippery road to the everlasting condemned Jericho, where there will be groaning and gnashing of teeth. And oh, my beloved, how much hypocrisy there is, especially in the church. And beloved, we are full of it. Do you hear it? We are full of it, with hypocrisy. By nature, we live in a dream world. Really, in a dream world. And we don't believe the truth. We keep the truth for a lie, and a lie for a truth. Now ask for the Lord. Open your blind eyes to see what has happened in paradise. You can know it with your mind, with your brains. That's not enough. Yeah, for that man on the roadside had been forced to experience what it meant, being a priest or a Levite without grace. So don't look at your neighbor for this. For such a priest and a Levite, we are in our hearts as well. And it is true grace only if we are kept from showing this in practice in our lives. Yeah, there are many songs of thankfulness and happy hymns sung, whereas our neighbor is writing in agony, in agony on the roadside. I give everyone his due. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord of heaven and earth, I wouldn't hurt a fly. I am such a scurrilous churchgoer that I could praise thee on each corner of the street. And that's the language of the Pharisee. But what about that man in the ditch? Well, somebody want to say, one cannot do everything. I cannot do everything. Look, we are all sinners and nobody is perfect. And that man, properly speaking, it is his own fault. I cannot look after everybody, can I? And tonight I am having an important board meeting of that Reform Foundation for Mission Work, so I do my bit. Pusho, with all your so-called good works, do you know that you are outside of Christ and are not saved? But this lawyer in this portion of the scripture also comes to try Jesus, to try, to attempt Jesus, to attack Jesus. He doesn't desire divine instruction, divine lessons to be saved. No, he thinks he can tempt Christ with his head knowledge. But knowledge puffed up. Knowledge of the scripture without true faith working by laws make a man appear religion inflated frog. I have no other words. And these are just like the Egyptian leapfrogs that jump over everything. Especially he jumps over the misery of man. Our misery. That's not a hill, that's a mountain. a mountain who reached the top of heaven. You cannot jump over it. But they walk in boots of Goliath, and every step they make is almost 10 meters. And they step over the distress over the grave of Christ into the glad world. Yeah. Aunt Lena, the old Aunt Lena would say, they go their way on the broad 14. Do you understand that, the broad 14? And passed by on the other side. There it is. That's the broad 14. So from the elders and the deacons there is no expectation of mercy, not even from the pastors, because the shepherds are feeding themselves and take care of themselves, but leave the sheep alone with his own responsibility. They say, you have your own responsibility. Yeah, it's true, every man has his own responsibility, but can you work with responsibility? Our responsibility is destroyed in paradise already. There we threw it away, our responsibility, you know. God, because the Lord created us very good, in justice, righteousness, and good works. But we threw it away, and we listened to the devil. For mercy, you are in church by the wrong address. The preaching can be a mean, that can be, but don't trust people. Don't trust the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord, only in the Lord, not in any man. If you put your hope on a human being, you will be ever lost. If you are in a big need, there is no help in church to expect, because everybody passed by on the other side of the road. That's my experience, and that is the experience of God's people. There is no place for the living child in the churches anymore. And it was the same in the time of Jesus, when Jesus has to be born. As to born, there was no place in the inn. No place. It's still the same. Yeah, and it is my own experience that pastors look like good Samaritans, but behind the line, they are in the run for self-care and to get surprised and to bow the justice like the sons of Samuel did. The sons of Samuel, good pastors. They preach a gospel for men. Not from God, from man, to man. Human gospel. A human gospel, not a divine gospel. A human gospel. To get some surprises. To bow the justice. Yeah. To get some mercy, don't call a pastor. For they have no mercy for a lost sinner, only self-love and self-saving eye marks. But, listen, there is a divine but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now what the depths that man has had to experience, that wounded man. First came the priest, on whom his hope was put, and when he passed by on the other side, came the Levite, who gave him a more little hope in his heart. But when he saw the Samaritan, that Samaritan coming in the distance, he lost all his hope. That is the way, my beloved. When all mine hope was lost, then the Lord knows my path. Remember. For the Samaritans don't want to have anything to do with the Jews. For as for the Jews, his hatred against the Samaritan was even worse. So all his hope disappeared, like snow in summer, when he saw the Samaritan. It was his enemy. And there the man had to cry out with the psalmist, no place of flight or refuge near, and none to whom my soul is dear. In congregation there is a people on earth that get that get their wits end. They cannot pray, hope, trust, and believe anymore. For their dad is looking them in the face. That is a big difference, you know. You can look to the dead. Do you see people die? You can look to the dead, but when the dead is looking to you, it's a big difference. Look, today's religion always seems to be able to believe. God has put step one, and now you're going to step two. And this kind of people are able to make steps heading to heaven. But the convicted sinner is only able to make steps heading hell, to hell. And do you know it by experience, beloved? I don't talk to the air, to you, to me, to myself. A really convicted sinner learn to believe that they have got only one right, namely the righteous verdict. And do you know what it is, the righteous verdict? There's eternal damnation because of our sins. And a religious person needs to be beaten half dead by God's holy law to understand a little of the truth. Behold, I was born in iniquity. And in sin, did my mother conceive me. There are exceptions, like John the Baptist. He was reborn in his mother's womb. Today they will say that unborn child cannot know Christ. But that doctrine is from the devil. Because when John the Baptist heard the voice of the mother of Jesus, he jumped up in the womb of his mother. By the Holy Spirit. It is only by faith. Only by faith we can understand divine things. And beloved, then you don't have anything to say anymore when the law came in, when the law comes in our life. It's a bit, because sin revived. When the law came in Paul's life, then he had to put his hand on his mouth, because otherwise the curses roll out. Read the book of John Bunyan, his conversion. Read that book. You read the same things. Read the conversion of Spurgeon. You read the same things. And all of God's servants have experienced the same things. When the law came in, sin revived. You feel you are a disgrace to God and man, and you cannot walk with your head held high like before when the law came in. For conviction of sin always brings fear. Fear of death. There's a legalistic fear, but it is fear. Fear of an unreconciled soul. Fear of an unreconciled death. Then the holiness of God comes to reality. That can be legalistic, but if you be pulled by the drawing law of the Father, then you have not only legalistic fear, not only slavish fear, but also Zorro after God. That's a wonderful thing. Zorro after an unknown God. And God doesn't make slaves even in the way of conviction. No. But in the case of distress, you are not delivered yet. That means not regenerated yet. That's a religion today They say when you have some conviction, some tears, you are regenerated. But it is a lie. You have to know Christ as your reconciliation before God. You have to know Christ. He has to reveal himself to you. That you can say, I have heard it out of his mouth. Then you are a regenerated person. A very happy person. And at least when the Lord draws you in a saving way from darkness to his wonderful light in Christ, then you get a sorrow after God. And that is love withdraws. The Lord drifts and the Father draws you to Christ. But when you are in that way, then you don't know that the Lord draws you. You have no knowledge of it. You're weeping about sin, weeping and crying to an unknown God. Where discovery and drawing love may lead to Christ, but without the drawing love of the Father, nobody can come to Christ. Nobody. That is always the difference with a hypocrite. They don't have the drawing love of the Father. And a hypocrite can weep. He can, buckets full. But God's real people have more tears inside. There is a people who die for drawing love to inherit God in Christ. That's the next, not the next step, but that follows. We have to die. Drawing love is not regeneration yet. The drawing love of the Father is not yet regeneration, because drawing love, listen carefully, is not indwelling love. Remember, the resurrection by Christ out of the dead, that is justification, and justification is the beginning of regeneration. Spiritual life in Christ starts with the forgiveness of sin. Many people fight against it. But I'm telling you the truth, the divine truth. The truth makes you free, the word says. The truth. Who is the truth? Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not your distress makes you free. Even love can't make you free. Only Christ, the truth. And was that wounded man beside the road saved by looking in the eyes of that? That is the teaching today. No. He was not saved. You have some experience of misery, they say, in our days. And what the Lord starts, he will also finish. And that's true. But the Lord, the spiritual life starts with Christ, And the conviction of sin, that is first. But it is not regeneration yet. Many people are delivered with the distress and with the misery of sin. Poor people. There is a people on earth who are crying until they are saved by Christ. He is the beginning of life. The Lord Jesus himself, he is also the end. Testify of himself, I am the begin and I am also the end. So there is no life outside of Christ, no spiritual life. So that man was lost because his terrible wounds, he was dying, but listen, he was still alive. And then you are still too much, beloved, because Christ only makes that man alive. Dead man. Listen. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear will live. And there he lies, bleeding from many wounds and life veins. And at first he had some hope in office bearers of the law, in the priest and the Levite. But beloved, the law knows no mercy. The law gives you no mercy. Never. The law is like a cop. He arrested you. He gave you a ticket. And do you know what on the ticket is? Eternal damnation. You have to pay. You have to pay. You or another. Yeah, that was what a man has experienced. Eh? How fortunate it was for that man that those keepers of the law left him to shift for himself. Otherwise, he would never have been cured of his deadly wounds. For that priest and that Levite carried no plasters with them. No. No. And that was to his salvation. And that the priest and the Levite Lee had left him alone. That's the way. You have to be left alone. Like that sheep in the pit of the raven. He cried for the shepherd. Yeah. Who comes? The sheep of the shepherd. Who? Who comes? Salvation is one way from God. Religion was the only thing they had, the Levite and the priest. But when the wounded man saw the Samaritan, he cried out, "Lost, lost, forever lost!" For the Samaritan would finish him off justly because of the hatred which he had the Jews. And there is a people who learn they are godless, hostile, without any rights, worthy of punishment. You know? The justification goes along with accepting punishment. It always belongs together. Justification, forgiveness of sin, and willingly accepting punishment. And in order that enemy should be reconciled with God through the death of his son. And of this, the Samaritan was a type. Of whom? Of whom? Of the great merciful high priest, Jesus Christ only. The Samaritan was a type of Christ. And the Lord was an image of Christ. That's a parable. That's an image. The Lord Jesus didn't only tell this parable to condemn that lawyer, but also as a spiritual lesson for God's children, because the disciples do that too. The disciples, real children of God. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now this Samaritan was on a journey. He journeyed, it says. And when you are on a journey, you have no time at all for other things. Especially when you are on a business journey. And not for this case, to pay attention to such a wounded man. But there is more. And when he saw him, it says, he had compassion for him. Now, how has God in Christ been moved in himself to cure a people from their deadly sins and guilt wounds? From eternity had seen that people lying in the open field, polluted in their own blood. We can read it, and I read it for you, in Ezekiel 16, verse 5. Non I betide thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when he saw him, he had compassion for him. And in this parable, it was a Samaritan who had compassion for that wounded man. But in the life of grace, it is Christ who has compassion for his people, for his elected ones. For it says in the next verse of Ezekiel 16, "And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Christ finds his people like that lost dying sheep in the wilderness, like that prodigal son, like that lost penny. Today they do you know what they say today? Now, I have 10 pennies and I have lost one, and I am satisfied with that 9 pennies. Because I have 9 pennies. 9 pennies, a lot. There's a lot. A lot of them. 9 pennies. But that is not the talk of Jesus. When he lost one sheep, he seeked that sheep and he found him. And bring him back to the house of the Father. I went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So the man was taken up by a Samaritan, who by nature was his enemy. And by grace he became his friend and brother. But he first put oil and wine in his wounds. And in this way God first forgave the guilt of the sins of his people through the blood of Christ. Therefore it says, Ezekiel again, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, says the Lord God, and thou becamest Oh, that dear and precious Jesus is still looking after lost sinners. Come and look. Come and look what he is doing, what he has done already. Then wash thee, I thee with water. Yea, I truly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil, like the Samaritan did with that wounded man. And on the way of Jericho, people of God, there God finds you, polluted in your blood, lost in sin and debts, and religion passes by on the other side. Yeah. You are very happy to be wounded in the ditch. Very happy. Because then you become a subject of the eternal love of Christ. But your religious people, yeah, they can always go their way, eh? Yeah. And their deep fall is never discovered to them. And they always go up to Jerusalem, always go up to church. They don't have to go out without the camp, bearing his reproach. And that's what happened with you when the Lord comes in your life. Then you come without the camp, bearing his reproach. Yeah. That's what made Asaph, do you know Asaph? Asaph, so envious. When he saw the prosperity of the wicked, prosperity of the religion people. For he had only bands till his death, but their strength was always firm. And that's what the man in the parable saw likewise. Hello? The strength of the priest and the Levite was firm. And they were still able to walk. But he couldn't go anymore. He felt his last strength go and faint. And as though in a last sigh he groaned, what we will sing together of Psalm 38, we will sing together the stanzas 6 and 10 of Psalm 38. Psalm 38, the stanzas 6 and 10. Oh, member of the EHBO. That is the gospel today. EHBO. They have plasters. They have some plasters. But the Lord Jesus has a knife. Has a knife to put that knife in your wounds. To cut out the bad spot. And that is the whole man. He cut off your head. When that is regeneration. That's not a dying soul, that is a dead man. A dead man comes alive. And that's what is happening. Then he passed as in a twinkling of an eye. And that is not a process. Conviction can be a process, but regeneration happens in a twinkling of an eye. When the Lord speaks with power to your soul, live. Then you live. Then you are a child of God. Then the Lord knew your path, people of God, didn't he? And then you were united with him after he had washed you in his blood. And the life which I now live in the flesh, says Paul, I live by the faith in the Son of God. That's the life of mercy, is the life of faith. That is not mainly with feelings. Faith. When Luther stands on the tower and he came on his end, you know, he get that text in his heart. The believer shall live by faith only. And to your congregation, if you have never wrestled against sin and to blood, that's what goes before. Conviction of sin, that's not a simply thing. Then when you saw in that mirror of the law, then you not only see what you become in paradise, but you feel the deadly power of the law in your members, in the members of your body, in your soul, in your mind. The law is a power. That is a powerful law. And whatever you think you possess, like the priest and the Levite, with all your would-be pious religion, you're without Christ. There's a terrible state, my beloved. Because the time is short, and the eternity never ends. And I was running on the Broadway when I was a young man. I was running on the Broadway. And there was a man on the Broadway. He stops me. He said, "You're going to eternal hellfire." I said, I know. But I love sin. And then he gave me a booklet. And I read it for me. And then he came to Romans 5:6. That Christ has died for the ungodly. Ungodly? I was ungodly. And at that time I read my name in the Bible. The first time. Christ has died for the ungodly. Ungodly? Yeah, ungodly. Read it. Romans 5:6. That was not my regeneration, because for regeneration you have to go through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. Do you know what that is, the narrow gate? That is Christ. Christ is the door. He is not only the way, he is also the door. And young men, young women, young girls in our midst, cry to the Lord to get forgiveness of sin. Cry to the Lord in hidden places, my beloved. My dear girl, cry for the Lord in hidden places. Lord, help me. Lord, give me a new heart and a new spirit. Yeah. Outside Christ, God is a consuming fire to whom no can dwell. Remember that. And whether your religion consists in strict legalism or light-hearted, superficial religion in which you are arrogant, all kinds of covenant promises before they have been given to you by God, in both cases, it is a religion without God. God knows nothing of it. But I wish you would be scared out of your wits like that man in the parable, so that you would be aware of the need to be saved, in order that you would be saved by free grace through the blood of the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. There is only one name under the heaven given. One name, not two names, not more names, not names of good pastors, not names of the servants of God. Only one name. That's the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, him crucified. I want to be to glorify his name. Only his name. Not people beside. But I wish you would be scared out of your wits, like that man in the parable, so that you would be aware of the need to be saved, in order that you would be saved by free grace through him alone. And on Calvary Hill you find the Lamb died for the foundation, from the foundation of the world, for the ungodly, not for good men, not for regenerated men by himself, not for believing people, but for the ungodly. Because God justifies the ungodly, dead men. And when he speaks to your soul, when they hear the Son of God, the dead, then he shall live. Yeah, and the Pharisees didn't want to be there. Right? They didn't commemorate his death, but invoked it through the worldly judge Pontius Pilate. And in this way Christ owned his church, when she lay there polluted in their sin blood, and he washed her in his all cleansing blood. And he carried his people in his heart to the house of his Father when he ascended into heaven. And then he led captivity captive, and received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious too. Do you hear that? Yeah, the gospel, that's such a wonderful divine truth. The gospel, we cannot work with that. But the gospel is like a prison. The law is a prison, and the gospel too. And then you become a prisoner of Christ. Then you are a happy man, a happy woman, a happy girl. And you are a prisoner of Christ. And for a people that had deserved death through their sins, and will do so even after grace received, so that free grace may be glorified to the glory of a triune God. For it says in the parable, and that is the partly here, what Christ did completely for his people, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, to care after him, to care of him. And in this way Christ has brought home his people, true faith in their lives on earth, but perfectly in heaven. Their home shall be where God will be all in all. Here by faith, here on earth by faith. Yeah. Presently by sight. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. so that man lived on the count of the Samaritan. In this way, the living church lives on the count of Christ. For whom he loves unto the end. When you belong to Christ, then you live on his responsibility. Then he is responsible for you. For your doings, for your sin, for everything. Do you believe that? Because for whom he loves unto the end. The Lord God don't see any sins in his people. Because he is looking upon the garment of Christ. Now, people of God, you may fall in sin, but never fall away. For in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That means that you live for the responsibility of Christ. And the sin debts has been paid by him who was moved with compassion, with the multitude, like he is filled with everlasting love, to gather his people out of all generations, people and nations. The Church of Christ is worldwide. Nobody can count the members. Yeah. It looks like in our days that there are a few members left. But on other places on the world, where the living church is persecuted in North Korea, we have no idea what there happens in China. We have no idea. But when the soldiers come to the church and pointed the gun on your chest, well then, do you say, I believe in Christ and nobody can hurt me? Yeah. Christ testifies to his people who have been brought nigh to death. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls, thy afflictions, thy enemies, thy trouble are continually before me. For the responsibility of Christ. It's not your responsibility no more. His. When you go, have to go through the water, I'll be with you. The fire will not burn you anymore. Look to that four friends of Daniel. When they came, when they put it in the fire pit, in the oven, they cannot burn because the angel was with them. That was the Lord Jesus. And you, superficial religion, when you remain, when the question is asked, like the Lord Jesus put it to the lawyer after telling him the parable, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And beloved, will your answer be like the lawyers? And he said, he that sheweth mercy on him. He didn't want to mention the name of that Samaritan, for he hated him with a deadly hatred. And that's the way the hypocrites will answer one day in the day of the great reckoning. For they will acknowledge God's great mercy in Christ, but they will not recognize him for themselves. Because those that are not Christ will hate him with a deadly hatred, to their shame and everlasting contempt. But my beloved, all knees shall bow before him for this king. Yea, all the kings shall bow to him, his rule all nations hail. And shall we bow down before him willingly, beloved? That's the point. that must be happening on this side of the grave. To bow down willingly before Him, accepting our punishment. And then we shall have to learn this on this side of the grave, if it be well for time and eternity. And the answer of the lawyer who wanted to tempt Christ was not the last word. For Christ, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end in all matters. For all things He began. For there one hears the divine Omega, go and do thou likewise. And there He went. There He went, His own way. Condemned by His own catch question. However, it is still the time of grace, my beloved. There is still room for the greatest Pharisee. Yeah, for the greatest. You know, the tax collector in the back of the temple, he knows the Pharisee, but that Pharisee don't know the tax collector.
No.
He was much better, he says. And the Lord still calls, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. God is moved in Himself to draw sinners to Christ and purify them for their pride by engrafting them in the true vine. And then they shall bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. But the smallest star, spiritual star, is even so precious in the eyes of God as a big star. He bought them, all of them, the small and the great, with His own blood. And these fruits, the fruits are for the husbandman, for the father. And they are for God the Father because of His eternal good pleasure. And Christ prepares His church bride for this, to present them pure before His Father. Here on earth they are on a strange land, occupied by the enemy. Do you know that by experience? I on a strange country here. Do you weeping and crying after the Lord every day? God's people are strangers on earth. They have no place. Never welcome. Not in the church. Not by religious people. They are so strange. Why? It is a strange gospel. It is a strange righteousness. Nobody can understand, but only who has a new name. Who has received a new name. And that name, that is Christ Jesus, Him crucified. That is the new man. That is the new man. I'm not. Christ. That is the only Savior. Only in Him. Occupied by the enemy, persecuted by the church, by the elders and deacons, like they did with Jesus. Just look at that man in the parable who was attacked by those bandits. Bandits. But by nature we are in the same terrible state of condemnation, attacked by the devil, dead in sin. But after grace the experience of our deep fall remains. But not without hope. Not without hope. No. That's what the church must often experience when attacked by the prince of darkness. And in order that she would continuously see the necessity of her head, be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord my strong defender be, thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. Here is the, you call it the militant church, praying. The church in battle, the church, the living church is always in battle, flesh and spirit. But one day there will only be a triumphant church. And then God will wipe all tears from their eyes. And they shall throw down their crowns at his blessed feet.
Yeah.
With heavenly rejoicing in hearts and mouths. Mm. Are you jealous on this people of God? They will point away from themselves forever and point at God in Christ on the throne through the Holy Spirit. For his name is to receive the glory forever. He is word. He is word. And so that it will resound forever and ever through him. Through him alone. Because of his eternal pleasure. Dear congregation, go and do thou likewise in Christ. And if you are in Christ, you have done it. You have done it already. For he has done it in your place. Amen. Lord, thou hast shown us thy grace in Christ and his compassion for lost sinners in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And thy grace is divine because thy grace is coming from one way. From thee, O Lord. Thy love is revealed in Christ, who is looking for lost sinners, who is still looking for lost sinners. O Lord, give us a heart and mouth to proclaim thy word, which contains Christ, him crucified. Lord, we need a look of faith on him to be saved. Take our life to thy honor, that we may glorify thee. And that we may become a witness of thee. O Lord, we are in need of thy Spirit, who lead us in all the truth. Our wisdom is only foolishness. Let Christ be our wisdom by thee. Our knowledge is so empty and our hearts are so empty by nature, O Lord. But fulfill us with thy eternal seeking love. Fulfill us with thyself, and that we may write a letter of love to thee. O Lord, be with us today, be with our relatives, be with our children, be with the living church, the persecuted church. In some countries, O Lord, the Western world is going down. The Western churches are going down. But thy kingdom will stand forever. Thy word will stand forever and will never fail. Lord, forgive all our sins in speaking and listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing, let us finish with singing together Psalm 118. 118, the stanzas 1 and 2. Psalm 118, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Oh.
197. Doxology, Psalter 197. Favor rest upon us from above. Amen.